This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning and thank you so much for kicking off your day with us here on The Morning Run. I'm Tan Chung Han and with me,
Melissa Idris.
Good morning, Melissa.
Hello.
It is 6 a.m. on this Friday, November 30th, the final day of November. And Christmas is just 25 days away, if anyone's counting at home.
It's like a countdown. Actually, you know, BFM, we've just put up our Christmas tree last night. So if you're not following us on Instagram, we're at BFM Radio. You can follow us. And then we can, there's a video up there on putting up the Christmas tree. We're very egalitarian here, so we made the boss do it. Decorate the tree.
So officially, the Christmas countdown has begun. Well, some might say it's a little bit late, though, because...
Is it not early? Because I feel, look, we're still technically in November.
Well...
And I've started getting Christmas invites for the weekend. And even I know of some companies already starting their Christmas parties, already started this week.
That's right. So, look, some people start counting down in July. I live right above a mall, and they started playing Christmas music even way before Deepavali.
They shouldn't do that, though. Yeah. And I think there's a regulation that they're not supposed to.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I think there's a regulation that you have to do the next festive season first before, or not regulations, I think more guidelines, right? Okay. More guidelines.
I was going to say, I hope the management of that mall is listening right now. All right, so here's what's coming up for the rest of the hour, folks. Now, we have a story here about perhaps reinventing the portrayal of a dad.
That's right. So the Japanese government is trying to break that stereotype of the remote workaholic dad, you know, the breadwinner, not spending any time with the family. So we're going to be taking a closer look at whether the government there, in their efforts to encourage greater paternal involvement in family life, whether that could work.
Ah, the new man. All right. Yes. Also coming up this hour, we're going to ask you to imagine this. Going to the mama, ordering a roti canai, and then at the counter, you just say, I'm going to pay the bill with social media exposure. You see how many likes I have. You see the blue tick. I'm going to pay with that.
Oh,
well, question is, would that work? And we'll essentially talk or consider the value of publicity.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I don't know whether I would, if I was a business owner, would want you to do that for me. But all right. Okay. This is in lieu of payment, by the way. And also, we're going to be looking at the question of closing times. So how late do you usually hang out? Because come January 1st of next year, KL will be deciding that for you. So what is this all about? We're going to be talking about that in half an hour.
All right. So stay tuned for all that. This is The Morning Run right here on BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9. That was John Mayall with Why Did You Go Last Night? This is The Morning Run. I'm Tan Chung Han. With me, Melissa Idris, keeping you company all the way till 10 a.m. this morning. And we've got Melissa Idris air drumming in the studio right now. I'm only going to assume that she's just, I don't know, trying to, you know, be this drummer in life.
So I marched to the beat of my own drum.
Oh, okay, right.
I've got music in my head all
I was
time.
Just trying to find some kind of rationale for this odd behavior at 6:08 in the morning.
There's no explaining me.
All right.
Anyway.
Speaking about odd behavior here, look, the phenomenon over there in Japan whereby Japanese men are seen to eschew married life and family life and all that. There is this attempt now to perhaps recast that role, so to speak, and they have a term for it. It's called ikumen.
Yes, so ikumen, it's a combination of the word ikuji, which means childcare, and ikemen, which means hunk in Japanese.
Oh.
So they're trying to, I guess, as we mentioned a bit earlier, really combat the idea of this, you know, absent dad, this distant workaholic father. So actually, ikumen is a government initiative. So in 2010, the Ministry of Health, Labour and Welfare in Japan launched the National Ikumen Project to encourage men to have greater involvement in family life. And, you know, I think they need it. So,
yeah.
I think they need it because the studies have shown that up to, I guess, even as early as the 1890s, men spent an average of 40 minutes with their family. That's only over the family dinner, say.
Wow.
Yeah. So 40 minutes, can you imagine? That's all you saw of your dad the whole day.
Right. And not just that, right? If you look at the broader demographic issues, you know, there's been research about how the majority of single Japanese men in their 30s are still virgins. Nearly a quarter of all Japanese men still unmarried at age 50. So this Ikumen.
I would say Ikumen.
Ikumen, yeah. All right. So this is trying to, you know, make the idea that, you know, a dad should be more appealing. So they've cast all these superheroes and these handsome, you know, dashing
hunky
men, right? You know, in these fatherly roles, right?
Carrying babies and showing that, you know, being paternal is also being masculine.
Right. But then, you know, I wonder how far these kinds of government initiatives would actually go, you know, because the idea of having this new man, that's not new. In fact, when I teach sociology in a textbook, and this is something that's been there for a while there, but then when you look at how society kind of lives its life, the conjugal roles between husband and wife are still, for many societies, still fairly segregated. Mm-hmm. And, you know, those stereotypes still play out in many a household, right? So there is this portrayal, this outward portrayal, but what really happens with behind closed doors or within a family setting, it's very hard to change that.
Sure. And we spoke a couple of days ago about, you know, the idea of giving tax exemption to women, right, who are working. And I, to be completely honest with you, I think you're right in a sense that no matter what kind of policies that are put in place, if something doesn't change in terms of societal dynamic, it won't really take effect. So Japan having one of the most generous paternity leave policies among all developed nations, I think they get 30 weeks of a full paternity leave.
Wow.
This is fathers get paternity leave, but only 2% take it.
Mm.
So, you know, you can't force the fathers to take it, I think, and they don't take it because they're worried what the employers might think.
Mm.
So how then do you make sure that there is some kind of, you know, grassroots level change in terms of society?
Yeah, no, exactly. So, you know, very often, just broadly speaking, my bias is against top-down approaches. Mine is towards a bottom-up thing. So unless there's a significant change at the culture, the mindset at the grassroots level, then that's how it gets manifested, you know, into broader society, as opposed to trying to put these glossy images like, all right, kids, you know, follow this guy here on the magazine.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So I am very, very skeptical about such attempts.
Okay, so I think for me, the nuance lays in the fact that it's not going to be immediate.
Mm.
So there was a wonderful WhatsApp that came in a couple of days ago when we were talking about this, and we didn't get a chance to read it out on air. The listener had said that, look, whatever changes, it will take a generation at least to see the effects. And I think that's absolutely true. So, yes, granted, the Ikumen program may not, or the Ikumen movement may not be seen immediately, but who knows, a generation or two down the line, this could be the new feminism movement, right?
Mm-hmm.
Redefining masculinity.
All right, well, men and women, let us know what you're thinking. 018-789-8899. How would you define a hunky dad? Again, our WhatsApp number is 018-789-8899.
Can I answer that question?
Oh.
David Beckham.
Calm down, Melissa Idris. Calm down. Our Twitter handle is at BFM Radio. Okay, when we come back, we'll talk about the value of publicity and whether that's fair compensation for artists. This is The Morning Run. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was The Club by Hines right here on The Morning Run. I'm Tan Chung Han, and with me, Melissa Idris. And good morning to Tian Yuan, who WhatsApped in at 018-789-8899, wishing us a good morning. And
good,
he called
morning.
You a moon.
Yes, that's right. I will not live that down now, having announced that on radio. So good morning, Tenny. Also, good morning to Ro weighing in on the Ikumen movement in Japan. That's for hunkier dads. Sorry, hunky dads being part of, I guess, family life, right? It's trying to make that a norm in Japan. And he reckons, Ro reckons, that no Japanese dad is sexier than Mr. Miyagi, waxing it on and off like Patrick Swayze making pottery with Demi Moore. I can't believe that was the reference there.
You have a very vivid imagination there, Ro. 2 points of that. All right. So again, you can always be part of this conversation. You can tweet us at BFM Radio, or you can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. All right, now let's consider the KL City Walk here. So they are holding a competition to empower young and hungry artists. That's their words, not ours, okay? And the idea is to like get these artists to exhibit their work at this City Walk. It's an urban street about 400 plus meters or so, right, located in the Golden Triangle. But unfortunately, they're not... these artists won't be compensated monetarily, right? So the idea is, okay, you come and perform and have your exhibitions, right, on this urban street, and then hopefully they'll gain you exposure. Now, whether or not this is an acceptable trade-off.
Right. Okay, so... I think it goes beyond that. So not only are they not paying the artists to, you know, display for their work, they're holding competition. So they're having all these artists submit their work, and then they will decide on the three and then use those three artwork and display around KL for no kind of monetary exchange. So it's a fair question to ask whether you would expect to be compensated for your work, right? Or is publicity enough of a compensation? Some of the responses to this, so when this initiative was announced, the backlash on social media was really quite surprising, because I want to cite Lainey Yeo on Twitter, who said that it takes some nerve to target artists who are quote-unquote young and hungry for their work and then not pay them. Why is this being positioned as, to quote the ad of KL City Walk, empowering? In Lainey's view, it's clearly exploitative.
Right. No, and I have to agree, right? Because if you are, say, holding a typical, you know, white-collar job in the corporate sector, then you have this clear hierarchy, or rather this clear ladder by which you can climb, and there is a relative job security there. Where else in the arts, when it comes to creative pursuits, you don't have that kind of structure, right?
Sure.
And so exposure is plays an oversized role when it comes to you moving up the ladder, so to speak, right? But then when you have corporates or these event organizers who then take advantage of that, I mean, that is a terrible power dynamic, though, that's being imposed on them.
I loved the analogy that you used a little bit earlier, Han, about, you know, going to the mama and or any restaurant, and then, you know, when it's time to pay the bill, you say, can I pay instead with posting you know, my meal on Instagram because I have so many followers, or can I just tweet out how wonderful this restaurant is? Is that enough? Because essentially, if you think about that, that is the crux of celebrity sponsorship, right? That is spokesman. That is what it's based on.
Right.
So how is that different?
Well, so, okay. I do know of individuals, social media influencers, ex-colleagues, what have you, right, who actually have that kind of following, and then businesses do go to them and give them free meals, goods and services just so that they can make a post about their business. I get that. But that's assuming that they already have that base, right? Whereas in this case, this KL City Walk, they are specifically, in their own words, targeting young and hungry artists. I hope not literally hungry artists, okay? Right? And then not compensating them fairly, at least not monetarily, right? And so this is often a conundrum that young and upcoming artists have to deal with, be they graphic designers, photographers, and etc. It's like, oh yeah, you do this project for me for free and I'll give you publicity. And then
seem to be, you know, fairly compensated, right? Yeah,
right.
That's a thing. And if it was, you know, if kind of public works of art, having these sculptures or exhibitions in public places, so here's the thing. The argument is, well, you'll get so many eyeballs, people walking around recognizing your name. But I do think, you know, in other countries, they pay a lot of money for public art. They, you know, Singapore is a great example of how they really treasure and put a lot of thought into what works of art are on display.
Yeah. So, for example, this is an issue that hits close to home, because my sister is a struggling artist. And so she tried it here in Malaysia for several years, just couldn't get anything. I mean, she even had an exhibition in Bank Negara, right?
Wow.
That's how high, so to speak, she got. But it just wasn't sustainable income. So she's had since to move to Japan, and she's now trying it out over there.
So and is that working better?
Well, it's still early days, but she knows that there's an ecosystem there, and so hopefully it pays off. But you know what she's found here in the Malaysian market, the math just doesn't add up. Well, sure. You let us know what you think. Would you pay for good art or these kinds of services in the arts? Right, 018-789-8899. Again, that's our WhatsApp number, 018-789-8899, or tweet us at BFM Radio. You know what? Even if you are not going to pay, you tell us why as well.
Why won't you pay?
Right? All right, we are coming up to the 6:30 a.m. news bulletin, but taking us there is Van Morrison with Caravan right here on BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Semisonic with Closing Time right here on The Morning Run. And we are just opening for business here.
Not closing yet.
Yeah, not closing yet. But speaking about closing time, though, there is this proposal by DBKL to move forward the closing time of entertainment outlets in the city to 1 a.m.
Yeah, but there's a caveat though, okay? So this is the Federal Territories Minister, Khalid Samad, saying that entertainment outlets within the city centre come January 1st will no longer be allowed to operate past 1 a.m, but an exception will be made for certain entertainment outlets with special permission to cater to foreign tourists.
What?
And then those outlets will be allowed to operate until 5 a.m. So, I mean, it's not even like 1:30. Yeah. It's like 5 a.m. That's a big difference.
And that's discriminating against your own people. It's like, come on.
No, it's not. It makes market sense, right? You want the tourist dollars, hon. Well,
hey, you want local dollars as well, you know?
You want them to be sleeping at home for a productive day the next day.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, I am obviously way past my clubbing days. I wasn't much of a clubber as well, though, growing up. I mean, I didn't really like it that much, but I did go out, you know, a few times, as most 20-something-year-olds would. And look, I recall, right, you know, after work or whatever it is, taking a nap, right, having dinner, taking a nap.
It's called the disco nap.
Yeah, and then wake up at like, you know, 10 or 11 and then go out. And then you stay out till like way late at night, right?
Sure.
And then maybe have a bakute or something for breakfast and then go home and go back to bed, right? So those were some very defining experiences in my youth.
You haven't done that while you're on the morning run, right? Like coming straight to...
I cannot confirm nor deny, right? So because 5 a.m. comes in quite nicely because we have to get into office by 5, right? So now you have to go home by 1 a.m.
Well, then why not shift that time earlier? So, okay, before we get into the nitty gritty, the first things first, right? Do we like the fact that there is a distinction to be made between entertainment outlets that cater for locals versus tourists?
I don't like it.
Why not?
Well, again, because you know, if you're saying that this is purely from a business sense, well, again, there's plenty of ringgit and cents to be spent by the local population as well, who just want to go out and have a good time, right? Look, life is stressful as it is. You know, if you give us that space where we can go and express ourselves until 5 a.m., great, more power to us, I think.
Right, well, okay, so we take a look at some what the rationale for this, right? So apparently the mayor of KL, Datuk Nur Hisham Madalan, he said that the idea is that, you know, you have these entertainment outlets. So if the nightclub closes earlier, then perhaps people can sleep early and improve their health. So I'm not sure about that rationale, but I do think that if entertainment outlets close earlier, then just shift your time to go out earlier. I hear a lot of, you know, entertainment operators who say that the norm is for people to turn up after midnight. Mm-hmm. Why is that?
Well, again, because of, well, say on a Friday, you got to work that 9 to 5 anyways. Now, if our dear employers can then shift that 9 to 5
but
clock,
but no one's
as well
working till midnight, right? Well, not a lot of people.
Well, so there we go, right? So you end work. Okay, here in Malaysia, it's more like 7, 8 p.m. or whatever it is. Then you go have dinner, then go home, take a nap, and then after you go out and then you party the night away. I mean, that's, look, generations of, you know, mankind have actually gone through this process before, and we turned out fine. So why limit the liberties of the up and coming coming generation from, you know, such pleasures in life.
Well, okay, so I hear what you're saying. So the idea is for not to have a nanny state, right?
Yeah.
But also, I mean, there are social repercussions, right? Whenever there's an entertainment outlet that's near, say, a residential area, and they are, you know, do you want those outlets to be operating till late at night? Versus, say, also, you know, nothing good happens after 2 a.m. You know, the saying from How I Met Your Mother. But it's true. My mother says that to me too. The idea is also to kind of curb social ills that happen. I know that in Sydney as well, I think King's Cross, they had that that regulation where pubs and bars were asked to close earlier, if I'm not mistaken. And this was to reduce the amount of intoxicated people on the street when the clubs closed.
Okay, no. So here's what they did in Sydney, because I was there when this ruling was passed. So the idea is that you have to get into the bar by a certain time. So, like, you know, say, I think it's like 1:45 latest that you can enter or something. Once you're in after that time, you're not allowed to leave. But you can still stay there, have fun until the bar actually closes, then everyone leaves en masse. So the idea is that, well, you cannot go out, in and out, like the whole time, right? So you keep it contained.
So that, no bar hopping.
Yeah, so that I'm okay with, right? So, but again, you know, just based on my experiences as a youth and seeing this, I can't help but feel that, oh, the young ones will be missing out.
I also want to know, I know this is still the proposal stage, but I want to know how the government is planning to make a distinction as to what constitutes a entertainment outlet, because Mamats are very entertaining to me. Are they going to close it at 1 too?
That's right. So again, for me, the two issues here is the moving forward of the closing time, and then secondly, yeah, that discrimination between outlets serving locals and foreigners. Well, you be part of this conversation. You let us know what you make of this proposal by DBKL to make sure these entertainment outlets catering to locals close by 1 a.m. Our WhatsApp number 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. This is the Morning Run on BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Chuck Berry with Johnny B. Good. This is the Morning Run. I'm Tan Chung Han, with me my very good partner in crime, Melissa Idris, who is
rocking out.
She was air drumming just now. She's definitely happy that
it's a Friday.
Exactly. And folks, she's very happy with all the messages that have come in via Twitter and WhatsApp. Again, you can be part of this conversation all morning long. Our Twitter handle is at BFM Radio, and our WhatsApp number is 018-789-8899. Take it away, Melissa.
Yeah, so, you know, we were talking a bit earlier about KL City Walk and how they are offering three young and hungry artists, those are their words, to, I guess, display their works of art without actually, I guess, compensating. So, you know, offering the platform of publicity with no kind of monetary compensation. And so we have a couple messages here on WhatsApp. Mr. Tan writing in to say, sad to know that Malaysians don't value art, not even popular arts. They have the same poor attitude towards intellectual property, like, you know, not paying for music and for movies. I also want to mention, we have here Darth Vadai on WhatsApp in a reference, or Darth Vadai, in reference to the KL Walk. I am trying to see it from both perspectives. So when an organizer has an open mic night and you get talent coming in to perform, then it's a platform for them to showcase it. But you, as an organizer, you have to create that platform and then you call it a competition. However, he reckons there must be some form of monetary reward. Budget considerations aside, there must at least be minimum compensation provided.
Totally agreed. Okay, so those were on WhatsApp. On to Twitter, at Ramli, at Cunning Cyclist, Ramli Syrup says that we all got to pay the bills, and if you starve them financially, creativity will die and will be the poorer for it. No,
wow.
I highly support that notion there. Also, Oliver Howard on Twitter saying about those young and hungry artists, as the organizer calls them, young and hungry artists. And Oliver Howard says they've got bills to pay, and so, you know, they don't come cheap, and likewise, they're training, right? So always got to keep in mind the well-being of our fellow Malaysians.
Okay, so I think the conversation that got the most, I guess, responses from you guys has got to be that proposal by the Federal Territories Minister and as well as DBKL to, I guess, not allow entertainment outlets to operate past 1 a.m. beginning January. And this, there's a distinction to be made for entertainment outlets for foreigners. They're going to allow it to open till 5 a.m. So many people have messaged in or tweeted in as well. And keep them coming because it's coming in hard and fast this morning. Let's kick it off with a look at Colin Tan on Twitter saying, when did Malaysian entertainment outlets ever comply with regulations?
No. To be fair, we are not saying that these entertainment outlets should go against this ruling or defy them, you know, but we're just saying that this ruling shouldn't even come into force to begin with, right? Because again, you know, I'm going to assume, well, I'm told that the average age profile of those listening to BFM are in their, you know, 40s, 50s. And so think back on all those memorable moments where you defied the norms placed upon you by society and you stayed up till late, you know, just having a great time, right? So we're going to deny that opportunity to future generations of Malaysians. Come on.
You re-educate society that you don't have to leave the house at 12 o'clock to go to the bar and stay until 5. You go after work or you go early. So hang on. I'm just going to say Steve Dix on Twitter saying, BFM Radio, where would I get my favorite cup of coffee if they close the nightclub in KL? So interesting choice of your coffee, where you would get your coffee.
I'll stand up for him, okay? Because people like me, I'm allergic to alcohol, so I actually go and get tea and orange juice and Coke from some of these
joints. As is your prerogative.
And if I want to have it at 5 a.m., I should be left alone to have it at 5 a.m.
Paul Lau agrees with you, saying, what's next? Cut off Wi-Fi connection, TV, mama computers with an auto off. This is the city, not the kampong. I don't think it's a slippery slope. We have to understand the rationale as to why, what is behind this proposal, right? To be completely honest with you, I'm not 100% against this. I know a lot of people think, oh, this is the beginning of a nanny state, right? Mm. But there is a reason why other countries as well try to limit the operating hours. What I don't like is the distinction to be made between a local patronage versus a foreign tourist. I mean, why discriminate against us?
Yeah, but look, not everything we do in life has to have that purpose, has to follow the guidelines and follow the rules. Okay, look, we've got to be given that kind of leeway to be creative and break the norms and just, you know, be a free spirit for a while. And if that means having orange juice at a certain night outlet until 3 a.m., then so be it, right? We should be given that freedom. However, I must say that To Hun Ki has messaged in, agreeing with you there, Mel. Mm-hmm. All you old folks. Say that closing the outlets by 1 a.m. will contribute to health and the well-being of the youth. Start the party earlier, instead of bashing your body from 12 a.m. to 4 a.m., start at 9 a.m. to... I think he means 9 p.m. to 1 a.m., right?
What an excellent and rational suggestion. See, just start it earlier and then get a good night's rest. Opie Lalok on Twitter saying, nightlife entertainment is not healthy, not enough sleep, consume unhealthy drinks and smoking, even if you are a secondhand smoker. So he has the hashtag no to 5 a.m. extended hour, and he's actually tagged Khalid Samad and the Prime Minister.
then everything we do becomes so rigid in society. I don't like it. No, come on. No, you're only young once. Be free. You're fine.
What happens then if you live next to an entertainment outlet and then you're trying to get the sleep because you're older?
Well, then don't buy the house that's next to the entertainment outlet then. Jeez, you've got plenty of opportunities there. You can be part of this conversation. 018-789-8899. That's our WhatsApp number. Again, 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Okay, we've got the news coming up at 7 a.m. and keep calm because Keith Calm is going to bring you the news. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.